Sir, I don't think it's not good enough. I think it is ridiculous. What one should also ask oneself is if the person had any right to get locked up in the first place.
If you can ask me that, I would say no. No, because we had this little country barbers had people that commit more heinous crimes than that same man, and they walk the streets. My answer for that is no, and I'm more angry to see.
So we have a policeman who shot an individual and killed him, right? Who is on bail? No, it wasn't at a police station, right? We have other persons who have been charged with murder. The most recent one was charged with manslaughter. This is the one you're thinking about. And he was a soldier, not a policeman.
A soldier. Sorry.
We have other persons who have been charged with murder that are on bail.
We could go on and go on.
We have persons who have been charged.
We
have persons who have been charged with rape that are on bail. Right?
We could go on.
You take out somebody who has pleaded guilty to an offense for which he could be fined and given a fine which he could pay, and you lock up that person in the full knowledge that that person is unwell. And then lossy way and present to the point where the body ain't no.
Then they're hospitalized.
Yeah, no, it's not good enough.
I know they see somebody punished for this. Somebody, I don't know.
Well,
somebody need to.
I could tell you, nobody can get punished for it because we don't have a tradition of punishing. But what will probably happen is that the state will be sued, and the state will have to pay some money. I don't know if you recall, many years ago, there was a case called DiMaria versus the Attorney General, Margaret DiMaria, who was a lecturer in law at the university. She taught human rights. She taught me, actually. She appeared before magistrate. She was sent to the psychiatric hospital because he raised concerns about her mental condition and thought that that would be the best place for her.
Yeah.
It was subsequently held by a high court when she sued
yes.
that she was improperly detained and yes. the state had to become a minister of government. The point I'm making is that I don't believe that any of these magistrates that have done these issues, have basically locked up these people, will themselves feel the pain, but I believe that the state may very well have to pay some serious compensation to families for what has been going on. And I'm happy that these matters are going before the High Court and they're being raised. Because to me, there's one thing to say that this is a regulation. I believe that the regulations are not being administered in the way that Parliament intended.
Yes.
Because I don't believe that it was Parliament's intention that you'd be locking up a father son for something that you could find them for. They have pleaded guilty. I don't believe it was Parliament's intention that you should be locked away in a body in prison that is uncontrollable.
They get away with that one, Mr. Wickham. Who make the laws? Who implement laws?
Yeah, but you heard what I said. But you heard what I just said. I don't believe that Parliament intended that you should lock up. Hold on a second, that you should lock up a father and son for something for which they pleaded guilty and could have paid a monetary fine.
Quite agree with
that's the point. You gotta take the whole statement in context because my sense is that Parliament's intention was that where something like that occurred, the person should have been fined. And you have a situation where a person pleads guilty, they say, I have done it, fine me. But instead of fining them, you are sending them to prison, awaiting sentencing.
Yes.
I don't believe that was Parliament's intention. Because I think that Parliament intends that when you pass these regulations, that the regulations will be executed with a certain amount of humanity. And I think that that's what's been lacking in all of this. We seem to have lost track of our humanity in our attempt to deal with this thing. The Guyanese, I get locked up too.
Mr. Vickham,
the Guyanese I get locked up too. I thought that was also unfair.
Somebody should still hold some shoulder blade door, Mr. Vickham.
But you can.
These people are in prison. That's the bottom line. They're in prison for petty things. And we can't let pass. Somebody got to hold some sort of shoulder blade. Somebody.
Sir, our system, the way it is set up, assumes that a magistrate that sits on the bench interprets the law in a way that he sees fit. Once a magistrate is able to say that I exercised my discretion in the way that I thought the law intended it and it was done in all good conscience, there's nothing that can happen. The state, however, will have to pay some money. And I think that that is the unfortunate thing in all of this. In the same way, the DiMaria case, right? One could have argued that that magistrate with Margaret DiMaria, but ultimately he did not suffer. And indeed, he subsequently got elected to Parliament and became Minister of Justice, ironically. But the state, however, had to pay, I believe it was $15,000 to Ms. DiMaria in fulfillment of the obligations that they had. So that's basically it. I'm in agreement with you, sir. I think that it was a bit overzealous, and I do hope that we come back from this precipice, because this is not the way that a just society operates. You want to say something in conclusion, or that's it?
I can say something in conclusion and wrap it up. Why is it then that, with the exception of, Barbara's got many lawyers. I noticed something. Barbara's got many lawyers. And to be honest, I just only hear one particular lawyer being outspoken about these things. What happened with the rest of lawyers' mouths, Mr. Wickham?
What happened? That isn't true. That isn't true. Which is the lawyer? Who is the lawyer? Who's the
only
lawyer that you hear?
The only lawyer I see outspoken is Andrew, to be honest.
No, man. But Lashley has been outspoken on this issue. This guy, Neil Marshall, has now been outspoken on these issues. In the past, you have had Gallup being outspoken on some of these issues. I mean, you can argue about the reasons behind, because some of these lawyers are also politicians. But it is unfair to say that. You would recall years ago when the person who became Governor General sentenced this guy to get beaten with the cat and nine tails. There were two lawyers, Mia Motley and Justice, he's now a judge, a high court judge, I forget his name. The two of them defended this guy who was supposed to be beaten with the cat and nine tails. And that was a significant case. So I think it's unfair to say that it's only one lawyer. There have been several lawyers that have taken on human rights matters of this nature. So yeah, listen. All right, sir, thanks a lot for calling. Good chatting with you as always. Hopefully next week we can chat again. I just wanted to read a couple of these WhatsApp messages because we're on 15 minutes before the end of the program. Gentleman is saying, referendum questions on marijuana and same-sex marriage must be included on the ballot paper for the next elections for it to be successful. Referenda work best during elections, not on their own, as we've seen in Grenada and Antigua. Challenge the government will be to conflate the two issues to the overall governance of the country at general election time. Well, I can tell you, sir, that as a political consultant, I would strongly advise any of my clients against including any controversial referendum like that or anything to do with an election. Let people vote separately and let them decide matters. And I don't know that we have ever seen an election in which persons vote alongside in terms of a matter of this nature, because there's always a tendency for people to vote what we call dung ballot. And essentially, they will reject all. These two issues are too controversial. I think that they need to be designed on their own. This gentleman is telling Peter, gateway drug. I agree with you, Mr. Wicker. Most of the older generation are on drugs because they were brought up on cough medicine that have high levels of codeine and others. People drink alcohol, want to fight. Some people use marijuana and stay passive. I never heard of a man smoking marijuana and beating his wife. You have a pretty good point there, because alcohol takes the system in one direction, ganja takes the system in another direction. And certainly fighting is usually not the type of thing that one would want to do when one is high. Sleeping is probably more close to it. This guy is saying that he's uncomfortable hearing this one of the callers. I'm not sure which of the last call it was. He's saying he hears that person too frequently. Peter, the government still has herb as illegal. We're going to allow a company to invest and grow it here. Not allowing people that live here to pay a fine for a small amount is a slap in the face. And I certainly would agree with you, but hey, you know, it is not for me to call the situation. Peter, the caller fails to realize that the magistrate who failed to use her discretion or his discretion has discretion in that regard. Peter, you should not be entertaining anyone on another subject who is so unqualified to give experience on advice on the matter. I am so disappointed in you, Peter. Well, you know, people are often disappointed in me on the program. I found that is a constant. So yeah. But as a young person, I like to say that serious issues that have to be addressed when it comes to public primary and secondary school. We have teachers who abuse their power to hit students, pick on students, and display favoritism to certain students with impressive backgrounds. Teachers are human and unfortunately abuse their positions to display these biases. When students stand up for themselves, it becomes worse for them, and teachers almost always back up each other in the situations. When it comes to the secondary schools, there are teachers who are frequently absent or who show up and simply tell students to write a note from the textbook with no discussion or teaching, and then tell them they get up and leave when the period is over. We also have teachers who misplace student assignments, and more importantly, SBAs, and then tell the student that they have not submitted it, meaning the SBA. In addition, there's no reason why a student should be sent out of class during a teaching session for not having an epaulette or a tie, or sent to the principal's office. Similarly, there's no good reason why a student should be told that they cannot come back in school until their Velcro shoes become lacing shoes. Furthermore, there are areas in the school that are completely filthy and with ants and dust, and it's only when a minister or some important person comes to the school that these areas are clean and beautified. It may well be time to get rid of teachers and school leaders who severely misinterpret the object and purpose of schools. They should use this time away from the physical environment to reflect. And the person said they're speaking about the highly respected Commonmere School. Very interesting. Final one I'm going to read for now, re-education opening. I thought it was an interesting in the UK that children are tested twice a week. Would it not work here? The only way you can die from ganja is if you put it into a vape pipe. The juice brought from a vape is made specifically for it. Raw ganja has caused death in young people who are using it irresponsibly. Also, I have never represented anyone because they knifed someone as a result of smoking ganja, but I have for someone who is very drunk. Thank you for your suggestion, sir, that I should come on more frequently. I'll be happy to, if that is possible. So appreciate your comments. And unfortunately, a lot of the other ones I'm not able to read because we are almost out of time. So we take a few calls. A good evening or welcome. Good afternoon or welcome.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm okay. Raul here.
Hey, Raul, how are you doing? Good to hear you.
Right. There's always room for improvement. But you're encountering another Raul with the former MP lawyer who is going to give a lot of legal perspective on a lot of stuff. I'm glad to have him on. He started calling recently, and he's welcome. It's very good to give back. And are you certain that his pronouncement on a lot of these matters would be would carry a lot of bearing? Because of the time limit now, the speed talk now sometimes is the amount of things I want to touch on, I can't touch on, but like one that spoke about, and he's touched on labor. There's a labor mayhem. I was calling for labor overhaul for some months now. There's a lot of legal stuff that's got to be going into, and I'm glad to hear from Raul as regarding. Now, I spoke to former principal, Mr. Alvin Adams, sometime. You know, he's the author of the book, Notes on a Native Governor General, Memoirs of Sally Belgrave. And he said he taught you at school, and he gave a good
account
of you. He said you're a good student. Well, we know you're academic already, so he spoke highly of
it. I know. But what he should also say is that he's the person that is largely responsible for the person that I am today, because I was a technical student, and it was him that gave me the opportunity to study history, which was important to making me the slightly more rounded person that I am today. So I owe a lot to Mr. Alvin Adams.
Right. He's highly in regard you particularly.
Yeah, one of my personal heroes.
Right. Now, politics, I would want to go into this labor thing, but if I have to decide quickly or to one or the other. I've spoken extensively on the labor situation, and the thing about the labor is when you get these contracts written, they're not written in favor of workers. You got like workers in the hotel industry, they're on 6 month contract, the NAS is taken out, but then when come for vacation and sick leave, they're not eligible and things, as they understand it. Those are things that I would like Raul to touch on, and I really dialogue with some intensity, you know. And the politics now, oh my, I spoke to a former minister here last week, and he said, Raul, let me tell you something. You don't have to apologize to not one person. I said, sir, you have to tell me that. I know that. But thanks for the advice. And we went down into some solid discussion. The state of affairs. You see all of this talk? Let's, for argument's sake, discuss this one. People talking all kind of whatever. Let's say they remove Miss Molly. This is for argument's sake and discussion. Who you replace her with the unpreparedness? You see the point I'm after?
Yeah.
You go replace her with the best thing. Sorry to be like that to you, but you know I'm not indignant toward you. But the political thing is a lot of. Good luck next week when you come and try to be in. I was on a little while holding, but anyhow, next week when you come, rest assured, you and I are going to talk about some politics and run some stuff.
All right, no problem. Yeah. All right, thank you so much for calling, Raul. It was good chatting with you. The politics part, we can't really get into that. But the question of employment is going to be one that sticks with us for a while. I do feel that the question as to someone, as you said, who is in that situation, how is that person treated by national insurance? We need a new regime. Currently, a self-employed person can contribute to national insurance, but as a self-employed person, I can tell you that we find it often a bit onerous in terms of the current regime that they have. And I wonder whether there couldn't be a slightly different regime that is designed for persons who are self-employed, persons who may run a little, shop selling, different things, a person who is working as a vendor. I think that's the kind of regime that we need to look at to allow for some level of protection. Don DeBrastacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter. How are you doing?
Not too bad, sir.
All right. Now, I joined you real late, and I was on quite a while, though. But anyhow, let me see how I can get through with this topic here. And this is to do with the young lady who called earlier, expressing her concerns about the situation with CXC. And you know that this and common entrance exam is one you and I have been talking about for a couple of weeks. But I wish to commend the young lady because I find she was really articulate, you know. And
she was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she her voice is representative of probably most of the young people who are about to take exams at this point in time. Mm-hmm. Now, Peter, I noticed in your response to her, though, you were laying blame not for doing something wrong, but for not doing anything at the feet of the ministers in the Caribbean. I think you called St. Kitts and Nevis and everywhere. But I noticed that you were careful to avoid our own minister here, Santiago. Noticed you walk all around the Caribbean.
What is a Santiago, do you know, that you are every week?
No. But listen, but this is, you know, I got to tell you this. You know, not that she do me anything, but you know, the reason why I call the program sometimes about this matter with Sandia, you know what that young lady said to you? She said, look, many of my friends suffering with this problem, and none of them have the courage to come out and call. And I did it, and I hope that by so doing, it would encourage others to speak out.
All right, sir. You ended on a good point, and I tried to lay a bit the point because, you know, it's more than you got to be. But unfortunately, the producer is telling me that we got to wrap it up and take it home. I want to thank all of you for a great program. Thank you for calling and helping to make the program what it was. Of course, this format relies heavily on your participation, and I really got excellent participation today. Thank you for bringing the good conversation out of me. Special thanks to the young lady who called, the student. I really enjoyed hearing her story, and I think that it was important that her story be told also for the rest of you. Well, we're approaching the weekend. Well, this is only Tuesday, but certainly not going to hear you before the weekend. So I want to wish all of you a good weekend as Barbados slowly returns to normal. I tell you, take care of yourself. I will be with you not next week, Tuesday, but Tuesday after. So I'll be with you in a fortnight. And I anxiously look forward to the next time I'm in this chair. Do take care.